I don't think our next speaker needs much introduction. But just for those of you who have a pencil and want to write it down, he's the Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party, presidential candidate, the New York Peace and Freedom Party, member of the State Steering Committee of the California Peace and Freedom Party, author of the book Soul on Ice, and now speaker before this rally, Eldridge Cleaver.
What's left to talk about? I was getting uptight when he started talking, you know? I think I must talk in my sleep. Well, we're still not free. I don't see any of the policemen in here. I know they must be here somewhere. I know my parole officer has one of his friends in here somewhere. So I'm going to start off by saying that I abhor violence. And that I'm in favor of gun control. My parole officer told me when I went down to talk to him about whether or not I could travel anymore or again. And he said, you can do all of that. He said, there's one point that you're going to have to be very careful about. And you cannot make any statements that are inflammatory and that can be construed as advocating violence. So I told him that I abhor violence. And that I would always say something about that. So if any pig is here who intends to inform that other pig calls himself my parole officer, tell him that I said he's a pig. Just tell him that. See, it's getting very difficult these days to deal with this whole revolutionary situation. Not only do they already have more laws on the books than they really need, but they're continually passing other laws. Does anybody know what the situation is? Do you know what we can do and what we can't do? What we can say and what we can't say? I don't know that anymore. And I don't have enough time to go and research all the laws. So that I'm in the position that the only thing I can say about that is fuck it. See? Fuck that. Because it seems to me that there's some type of game going on if the people law is, and that the pigs of the power structure are the only ones who know what's going on. And sometimes I wonder if they know what they're doing. I don't think that they do. I don't think that they really understand what they're doing. I think that they're so hung up on maintaining their positions, maintaining the power of the Democratic Pig Party, of the Republican Pig Party. They're so hung up on that, that all that they can see when they look around is what's the next best move to make for the party. They put the interests of the party above the welfare of the people. So checking that situation out and coming to that conclusion, we take the position that the only way that the people can deal with this is to take it in the streets. The legislatures, the Congress, and even the courts of this country have become non-functional for the people. The way that things have been going in this country, the world is on the brink. But it's been on the brink. Some of you, I can see they're, 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, you've lived in this climate all your life. You don't even talk about the bomb anymore. People have gotten tired of talking about the hydrogen bombs that are hanging over the head of the world. There's no point in talking about it anymore. We've protested and demonstrated. We've appealed. There are tons and tons of material that have been written to explain why certain things should be done. Why we should get rid of the bombs, why we should stop oppressing people, why we should do a whole lot of things. And as the gentleman here was saying, that one of the most potent political phenomena in the country today is the growth of political forces embodied in that little simple pig from Alabama, Georgie Boy Wallace. This is a reality. And I think that the reason that Wallace is able to go around and to gain people to support his banner is because the people in this country are confused. I believe that the basic cause of all the shit that's going on in this country, the basic reason that it's so difficult to really do something about it, is because the people are confused. They are fed lies from the highest level. You heard about the credibility gap. I mean, the Democrats started talking about the credibility gap. They accused their standard bearer, the president of this country, as being unreliable when it comes to telling the people what's going on. That when his cabinet ministers, his cabinet officers issue out statements, we are told that you can't really believe what those statements say. And we know how the mass media functions. That because there are a lot of people in this audience who have been active in various incidents, demonstrations, what have you, that they've had occasion to read about that in the newspapers and to watch it on television, hear it on the radio, and it seems as though that they're reading about or observing on the TV something that happened someplace else. That what's being reported, in fact, had nothing to do with what really went on. So there's no wonder that people who have been deluged with this type of misinformation for all of their lives and really for all of their history, it's no wonder that they don't know what's going on, and that when some articulate pig comes along and tells them that the only way to solve this problem is to lynch all the niggers, that because he's been a judge, because he's been the governor, because he's been anointed by some crazy preacher or some priest, because he can go to the White House, because he's in the White House, because of all of these things, I mean, there's a limit to how people can, you know, see through all of this. You don't have time to analyze all this, and there's a tendency to throw up both hands and just go along with the situation. Well, information is the raw material for new ideas. If we get misinformation, we're going to get some brand new funny ideas. And that's the basic problem. That we have to create images, machinery. We have to develop people who, when they talk or when they write, people can have some trust in what they say. And I don't think that it's too hard to have the attitude that George Washington was said to have had about that cherry tree. Because we're dealing with something that's much more fundamental than a goddamn cherry tree. We're dealing with the continued existence of people on the face of this planet Earth. Because the lies that have led to more lies to cover up the other lies have grown so high that many people don't even know that they're lying when they run down those lines. So that we say that it's time to begin anew, that it's time to stop going along with rhetoric and bullshit that you cannot endorse. And this is very fundamental in terms of the coalition that the Black Panther Party has made with the Peace and Freedom Party. And I get to shoot a shot at her because she said that before Huey Newton was arrested, there was no cause for communication between blacks and the whites, Black Panther Party and the Peace and Freedom Party. I think the correct statement of that is that we did not recognize that there was a need for that. And it was only when they had Huey on death row in Alameda County, where they had indicted him for first-degree murder, and where we knew that they wanted to put him in the gas chamber, that we had to make a retreat. We had to go inside of closed doors and say, how are we going to deal with this? Because if there was one thing that we knew that we would not be able to observe the process of those pigs, those murderous pigs of Oakland, whom we knew out on the streets, who we know how they are, that we could not allow them to get away with putting Huey Newton in the gas chamber. So how are we going to deal with this? It involved examining where we are, where we were, where we wanted to go, where we were willing to go, with whom were we willing to work. And we had to look at that in terms of the program of the party, the ideology of the party. And there was nothing there that precluded a working alliance, a coalition with white people. And we began to understand that with the assumption of the chairmanship of SNCC by Brother Stokely Carmichael, a very crucial turning point in the history of the Black liberation struggle had been reached. That Black people were moving to assume control of Black organizations. The rhetoric that was developed out of this necessity, the rhetoric to justify, because that had to be explained. There were a lot of white people who were in control of some Black organizations, they were in control of certain policy-making positions in Black organizations, so that something had to be said to justify that, because a lot of them didn't understand, well, I believe in brotherhood, I believe in integration, I've been out there on the picket lines, I've sacrificed for all these years, and now you're gonna kick me out. A lot of people thought that that was chicken shit. A lot of people thought that it was like fundamentally wrong. But Stokely said very clearly, and we have to remind him of this once in a while, that white people should go and organize in the white community, Black people organize in the Black community, and when the white people develop something that's functional, then we can have a coalition with them, a coalition, a specific coalition, for specific purposes. So we had read Stokely's speeches, we had heard him speak, we had read his book, and so we quote that to him sometimes, and we use that in explaining and justifying the way that we were moving. If you think of this country, I say Babylon. Babylon. And it's so apt because it's fallen. It's falling, it's sinking. We're sinking with it. It's carrying us down by a dead weight, by lies, by hypocrisy, and by the weight of the blood of the peoples of the world, waging a war in your name, even trying to wage this war in my name. This is a democratic war, participated in by the peace-loving American people. We are a people who support the underdog. And it's just recently that we've been able to understand that America is the dog that's keeping that other little dog down. So we say that we recognize that freedom is indivisible, that because it was necessary for them to impose a curfew in Berkeley, that the white people there are involved, we are involved, everybody in this country is involved. And as I heard her say one day, she attributed as a quote to someone, I don't remember, that if you are not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so we say, we would rather have more people, and we would rather be a part of the solution and not any part of the problem. So I'm thumping for the coalition. I'm thumping for a widening of the coalition. I'm thumping for people to support the petition campaign of the Peace and Freedom Party. And I'm thumping for people to have a little self-respect, because that's all it's about. That's all human dignity is about. It's about individuals. It's about all of us, but it's also about one's own self-respect. That we have got to have too much self-respect to allow racist pigs in the power structure to shit on the rest of humanity in our name. That we've got to have enough self-respect that we will be willing to lay down our lives and to pick up the gun. And I know this is not really a speech that I should be making to the oppressor country radicals, because they're always telling me that I'm ready for that, but my people aren't ready yet. Well, I tell them, ready or not, it's here. It's here already. It's not coming, it's here. It's here, and we have to make the decision of whether or not we're going to go willingly, whether or not we're going to allow this country to just go openly into fascism, whether or not we're going to allow the black community to be turned overtly into a concentration camp. But the black community is saying that we don't know what they're going to do. And we don't know if we can believe them when they say that they're going to take care of business. So we're going to have to move in such a way, and we're going to have to create such conditions that we can ensure that they're going to be involved and that there won't be no way out. So that's the other side of the coin of the coalition. Because you have endorsed madmen. Madmen in a time that demands madmen, which means that you've done the right thing. But you better know what you've done, because we do have a little time. They haven't programmed all of the people yet. It takes them a little time to rally the American public to a new stratagem. It takes a little time. They issue their report, make a confession, and they continue to go through these changes. And if it was left like that, they would have the American people programmed to accept the genocide of black people in this country. So we're taking advantage of that time. And we're going to organize the Black Panther Party all the way across this country. We're going to develop the coalition all the way across this country. We are going to build the Peace and Freedom Party and the Black Panther Party here in Syracuse. And if the chief of police and the mayor here don't like it, they can go to hell or wait to be sent there. That's what it's all about. Huey P. Newton says that the spirit of the people is greater than the man's technology. And we believe that people are still people. They've just been put off into different bags. And that it is possible to break out of all of those bags. It is possible to liberate the people of America and to build a new world. They like to make us think that nothing can be done. That this is a gloomy situation. Nothing can be done. Trust in your president. They like for us to believe that the war in Vietnam cannot be stopped. That it's complicated, that we gotta negotiate, that the North Vietnamese won't talk sense. But that war could be stopped right now. If that pig who sits in my seat in the White House. He has nothing to do but pick up one of those telephones and says, say, Brother Pig in the Pentagon, send out this order. Withdraw the pigs from the Vietnamese community and let the Vietnamese people reconstruct the damage that we have done. That's all that motherfucker's got to say. That's all he's got to say, and he's a lying punk when he says anything else. That's right. He's lying. Listen.